Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Young people have also had an amazing time at youth camp last week. How many of you want to hear from one of our young guys about their youth camp experience? Give a big hand to Alex as he comes. Hey! Tell us about your youth camp experience, Alex.
Don't be nervous, bro. I'm right here.
Okay, so... Okay, so... my testimony, I got asked three questions. What my life was before camp, what my life was during camp, and what my life was after. Before camp, I was, you could say, the epitome of an average 14, 15-year-old. I was angry. I had a lot of bottled up anger. I was self-doubting myself at every moment, and I had guilt that I could not get past. But during camp, around the third night, I guess, I got the moment to just take a big think about everything that was happening with my life, about how I could make it better, and it was from there that I let Father God accept me. And I'm sorry,
doing good,
really
bro. Doing good.
Oh, okay. And it was like from this point where I just let Father God just jump right into all these dark depths of negativity, of all these self-anger, and I just let Him just yank it all out. Like, if that's the right way of saying it. And I could honestly thank so many people, but I want to thank like a few people, just a few. I would have gone on for the whole night if I did. So there's that as well. If you want to, just maybe just sit up, get a hot chocolate if you want to. But I don't think they have those right now. So that's a shame. But anyways, like I would like to thank Celine for one of them. She literally or figuratively dragged me to this place in the first place. So, like, there's that. I'd also like to thank all the leaders like Clara for encouraging me to do this testimony in the first place. I'd like to also thank my Connect leader, Michael, but I'm not sure if he's here right now. he probably isn't, so. I'd like to...
This is Michael Fraser?
Yeah, Michael Fraser, yeah. Don't worry. If Michael can hear this anytime soon, I love you, man. Don't worry.
Tell him for you, bro.
And I'd also like to thank Callum as well, but I'm also not sure if he's here right now. But that's okay. That's okay. But I'm sorry. I'm just like letting myself go on and on and on. But nowadays I'm happier. I get to just I like to express myself more. I want to help people more now. I like to just not be pushed back by all my self-doubt that was once there. Like, well, it's still there, but it's like sitting in the corner or something, if that's what you like to call it. But in all reality, I got to thank Father God, for he released me. He remade me into who I am now. So for that, I just got to thank him.
Awesome, Alex. Well done, bro.
Good work, man. Give Alex a big hand. So courageous. You're a great young man.
So cool. Who's ready for the Word of God tonight? Reading from Mark chapter 4. Reading from Mark chapter 4. I met a young lady tonight that drives all the way from Bunbury to come to our church. How cool is that? Incredible. Some of y'all come from Winthrop and you're 10 minutes late. Unbelievable. Mark 4, reading from verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. All the other boats followed, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Powerful passage of scripture. We're going to jump into what could be a well-known passage for some of you and maybe not so well-known for others. But I am convinced that if you apply the truths embedded in this passage of scripture, I can tell you it's not just going to set you up for an incredible year. It'll actually set your life up. I know I'm talking up a big game tonight, but I have a big Savior. And I have a big Bible with really big truths in it. And if you were to get hold of it tonight, it's actually going to set you up for life. And I'm going to preach tonight on a thought that in the next 20 to 25 minutes, funny that, but that I've actually taken my whole adult life to wrestle with, and I continue to wrestle with ongoingly. But there's an incredible truth in this that the Bible tells us it was evening, and Jesus has a harebrained idea and decides to go for a boat ride. I don't know if any of you are watercraft people, whether you get on boats to fish or to recreate, but I'm a fisherman. I've been on charters. I go at nighttime, daytime. I'm on my kayak a few times a week. I'm on the water. Being on the water in a vessel, if you like, at nighttime is completely different to during the day. It's very hard to orientate. Darkness is very difficult. You'd be surprised how much you use points of references when you're floating. Come on, make sense to you. So Jesus has this harebrained idea, and I've also been to this part of Israel where I've actually been on the boat in this supposed Sea of Galilee and in the area that this account was happening. And there are certain times in the year where big winds would blow, about 4 or 5 months in the year, where that area is susceptible to great storm. So Jesus, at this time of the year, at night, suggests to his disciples, "We're going to get in the boat." What a crazy idea. I don't know if you know that Jesus has some crazy ideas sometimes. He says to them, "Guys, it's not ideal," even though he didn't say that, they all knew it. "It's not ideal, but we're going to go in the boat." Most leadership books will tell you that as leaders, when you are trying to convince a group of people of an idea that you've got, you gather them around, you pitch a compelling case, you become very certain about what you want to say, then you get a core of people that maybe might buy into the idea, then you ask them, "How do you feel about progressing to the next stage of your idea?" Then you get a core, they will all agree, and then you would then have the consensus, then you work again, your compelling case, you pitch to them the next idea that will then develop, and so on and so forth. Jesus throws all of that out the window. He just says, "Boys, we're going in the boat, it's nighttime, and we are going in the boat." Now, I don't know about you, but you got to understand that Jesus is far less concerned about your comfort than he is about taking you on the journey. He is far less concerned about your opinions than he is about your personal growth. And I can tell you tonight that he's also far less concerned about your feelings than about who you're becoming. And tonight I want to speak to you on the thought, how do you feel about faith? How do you feel about faith? It's a maturing sermon, so he who has ears, let him hear. My prayer for you tonight is that as you're hearing this truth, that internally you open your heart up to growing in 2018. Is that okay? You know, I've been a Christian most of my life and been journeying, I guess, in this journey of growth and discipleship most of my adult life. And I've observed in myself, particularly in the last 13, 14 years, as I've been a senior pastor myself in leading a congregation, I've observed this of myself and also in others, that nothing that has happened to me up until this point in my life and nothing that is going to happen to me from this point till the day that I die and cross over to the other side actually has any power to affect me. There is nothing that has happened to you up until this point in your life, and there is nothing that's going to happen to you from this point onwards that actually has the power to affect you. Let me tell you what has the power to affect you. What has the power to affect you is how you feel about what's happened to you. You catching this? You need to understand that circumstances have no power to affect you. It's how you feel about what's happened to you that gives your circumstance license to affect your day, affect your week, affect your month, affect your year, affect your destiny, and therefore affect your life. You know, it's an incredible thought to know that our faith is greater than our feelings. How many of you love Jesus? I love Jesus. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine some time ago, quite a while ago, and he is of a different denomination. We were having lunch, and as good friends, you banter. Some of you banter with your mates, And he was telling me that he was, his church and him obviously was looking for a new, I can't remember what the position was, I think an associate pastor, executive pastor, something like that, to really help him carry the load of the church that he was pastoring at the time. And so I asked him, who are you looking for? What type of person are you looking for? And he begins to tell me about the kind of person he was after, his dream person, I guess, for that role. He said, ideally they'd be in their 40s, they'd be married with children, a bit of life experience. Ideally they'd have gone to university, have seminary behind them, and they begin to list a whole bunch of Christ-like characteristics. And so I put my job application in and went for the interview. No, I didn't. I just heard him out, and I said to him, well, I actually know someone that will be great for you. And I began to describe. I said, look, he's only about 31 or 32 years old, and he's not married, and he doesn't have any kids, and he's never been to uni, and he doesn't have any tertiary education, and he's, well, he's a tradie, well, a chippy, actually. And this pastor said, oh, no, I don't think that's a good fit for us. And I said, well, I just described Jesus to you. See, we all think we like Jesus, but you would have hated him as a pastor. Come on. Let's be honest. No board would have approved Jesus as their pastor because he did a lot of things wrong as a pastor. He would have been, I can tell you now, Jesus would have been the worst pastor. I mean, think about it. Like, he does all of the things that you should never do as a pastor. I mean, the guy goes to church and overturns tables and whips people. You don't do that, Jesus. You put the whip down. You know. Jesus, you don't ask parents to bring their kids to you and you grab them and lift them up and dedicate them without a working with children. Check card, Gareth. What's going on? I mean, seriously, you do not spit in mud and rub it in the eyes of a blind man. That's you're bullying a disabled person, Jesus. Like, just don't. Jesus did everything that is so counterintuitive for me as a church pastor. But you know what? The one thing that Jesus did that is so unpastorly. See, I try and model my leadership, my pastoral leadership on Jesus and the Gospels. And the more I look and I go, Jesus, what? But the most unpastorly thing that Jesus did in the Bible was that he never asked a single person, how are you feeling? He only ever asked them, where is your faith? What did you do with your faith? Why have you no faith? Come on, you following me so far? Jesus didn't ask lame people, blind people, people with shriveled hands, people that were demon-possessed. He never asked them, how are you feeling? He never asked guys that were caught in a storm on a boat, how are you feeling? He only ever asked them, where is your faith? Because Jesus knows that you were created to be a faith person, not a feelings person. Jesus does not deny that you have feelings. He just wants you to know that he didn't die to validate how you feel about your circumstance. He died to give you the faith to overcome them. Yeah. You got to catch this. Not once in the Gospels did Jesus ever look anyone in great need in the eye and say, how are you feeling? But he stirred them to dare to believe for greater. Do I have a church that believes with me tonight? So we got to stop. In 2018, you got to do this, friend, from the front to the back. You got to do this. You got to stop reducing Jesus down to become a joint slave to your feelings with you, and you got to start rising to become a joint heir with him by faith. We got to stop reducing divinity to come down to just how we feel about our day and start living like the person that Jesus died for you to be. God is raising up a church, particularly here in the Western context, to stand up and say that the Christ in me is greater than how I feel about what's going on around me. I want to do life with believers like that. I want to do life with a community of people like that. But you got to understand, I'm not downplaying the grief and the tragedy and the difficulty and the reality of what you're feeling. I'm just encouraging you that Jesus has actually died to give you the faith to overcome no matter what you're going through right now. Jesus never downplayed the existence of the storm. He just had the power to silence it. Come on, are you out there? You know what? I reckon Jesus loves faith people and why he died to make us men and women of faith is because, faith people never complain about anything because they're always dare to believe that there is greater. In spite of what's happening in the reality of what they see and what they feel, they're living beyond how they feel about the circumstance. Come on, are you out there? You know, your feelings are an insatiable appetite that can never be satisfied. If you pander to your feelings this year, next year, the year after, and for the length of your life, your feelings are an insatiable appetite that can never be satiated. You can never satisfy your feelings. You will never be happy. If you deploy your entire life to the pursuit of feeling better about your circumstance, you will never be contented in God. Come on, are you out there? It's an insatiable appetite. Oh, yeah. You like that, Sydney. That's why you're clapping. God bless you, sister. I'm missing Arjun tonight, actually. Dial him in from India. You know, when you live by feelings, you're going to find yourself complaining about everything. You know, in 2004, we planted our church out of, gathered a group of people in our living room, and it grew from, you know, we hired a hall called the Melville Civic Center. In 2004, people were full of faith. It was only a small church at the time. It was pack up, set up, everything, from kitchen to cups to kids' church facilities. It was pokey, it was old, wooden floorboards and all of that sort of stuff. But man, people just loved it because they were full of faith. 2004, it was a new church plant called South City Church. Do you believe that that was what our church was called back then? Yeah. Tiny vision, small vision. But it was full of faith. By about 2007, 2008, 2009, people started complaining. The building was a bit too small, it's a bit uncomfortable here. So we spent some money and we moved our church to a big basketball arena called Blue Gum Community Center. We changed a basketball arena into church every Sunday. Teams would roll in at 5 a.m. How many of you were set up and packed down at 5 a.m.? Yeah, a handful of you. The rest have left church. They've gone. And we would roll in and we would set up and convert an entire basketball arena into church. And kids' church would be 400 meters away where they'd have to check in another facility called Brentwood Primary School. Not even part of the Blue Gum Community Center. It was crazy. People would walk the kids 400 meters in the rain and in the sun and back to church again. And people were full of faith. The church grew from 300 to 800 in a five-year period. Towards the end of that time, in about 2012 and 2013, people started complaining. What they didn't complain about before, they started complaining now. Oh, we got to walk so far to check our kids in and the toilets are dirty. I complained about that one myself many times. So we spent the millions and bought this building and put in everything. Urinations, the toilet block was awesome. We put in, that was funny in the 11 a.m. service. Put in the kitchen sink, literally everything, commercial property, commercial kitchens. We fitted it all out. Kitchen now, even up to last week, people complained about walking the kids down a 20-meter ramp from that building to this. Not this service. The 11 a.m. because they always... See, our feelings can never be satiated. If you live by feelings, you will only ever complain and even turn on your Savior. Teacher, do you not care that we're drowning? See, God is raising you up not to be people of feelings, but people of faith. Come on, are you out there? Your feelings will never be satiated. Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning? See, I don't know about you, but what I want to submit to you tonight is that we were born with feelings, but we are born again by faith. You are born a feeler, but you're a believer by choice. It's time for the church to rise up beyond what we're born as, to step into what we're born again to become. Men and women of faith. This is such important truth because for some of us, we look at this and go, oh, wow, it's a great story about Jesus calming the storm. We teach our kids at kids' church with Christ in the vessel. We can smile at the. It's great, you know, and it's the whole idea that Jesus can calm the storm, but it's so much more theologically at work here than just Jesus calming your storm. Mark 4, verse 35, we open this passage and it said this: as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out. Whenever Jesus presents us with a set of very unlikely or challenging circumstances, very easy for us to lose sight of the purpose embedded in those challenges. Have a look at that verse. The first thing that, if you're a disciple, the first thing that your head will go to is evening. Jesus, it is March, and we do not go in boats at night in the Sea of Galilee at this time of the year. So evening and Jesus in the boat is a bad idea. It's the first thing that we go to, but we forget that Jesus is saying, let's cross to the other side of the lake. See, when we live beholden to the feelings that we give license to for the circumstance to affect us, following me so far, we will actually lose sight of the purpose we're called to. You can actually lose sight of the purpose you're called to when you're actually beholden to your feelings. There was a reason why Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. See, your purpose is connected to your faith. Come on, you follow me so far? Yeah, but your feelings are connected to your circumstance. See, when Jesus speaks to you about tomorrow, when you're back at work, to go cut across the lunch hall to speak to that work colleague that he's been putting on your heart, or across the water cooler that you bump into at certain times of the day in the work day, and God has been impressing you to share your faith with them. That's the purpose related to your faith part. But the feelings related to your circumstance part will say things like awkward. Come on, how many of you had that word run through your mind? Awkward, not the right time. Everyone's around. Maybe wait till 2025 for another opportunity. Come on, are you out there? See, when we are beholden to how we feel, because our feelings are connected to our carnality, it's just connected to our unredeemed part of who we are, and circumstance latches onto that, then we will always lose sight of our purpose. Your feelings will always tell you not to fulfill purpose, because purpose is harder than feelings. Come on, are you out there? Maybe God is speaking to you about taking the next step in 2018, about whatever it is that he's challenging on your heart to do. Maybe he's saying, you take that next step and enroll in Nations College, or take that next step in stepping up into serving in the area, take the next step in that leadership opportunity, take the next step in that thing that's opening up to you at work that's going to really open up a whole sphere of influence for you, or whatever it is. And the destiny and purpose that let's cross over to the other side command ringing in your ears, as you try and step into it, maybe the voice of feeling says to you, oh, what about the bank account? Come on, are you out there? How are you going to make it all work? Don't you know that you're already too busy? I don't know about you, but when you live by how you feel, you actually forget that there's a greater purpose at hand. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, next slide. You following me so far? Is this helpful to you guys? Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Incredible, the disciples were absolutely terrified. They said, who is this man? They asked each other, even the wind and the waves obey him. It's great, but it doesn't end there. Flick to the next line, Mark 5, next chapter. So they arrived at the other side of the lake. This was what it was all about, not the calming of the storm. Come on, are you out there? In the region of Gerasenes, or Gadarenes, as some other translations call it, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. Roll across to the next slide. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to him, and bowed low before him with a shriek. He screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. The account then goes on to say that this man finds his freedom. Can I preach into this? If the disciples would have been beholden to their feelings, the boat would have never got to the other side, and this man would have never found their freedom. You got to understand that when God says that you are a man or woman of faith, not a man or woman of feelings, he's got your purpose and your destiny at stake. There are people's freedoms, there are people's salvation, there are people's healings, there are people's encounter with Jesus at the other end of you saying that greater is he that is in me than how I feel about what's going on around me. Someone say amen. We forget that he created you to be a person of faith for the purpose and destiny that waits for you on the other side of the lake. For too long, Christians have just been all about trying to get by in the storm. That's been our theology. Our entire Christian theology is just, if I can just batten down the hatches and get by in this storm. And we live from storm to storm, just surviving. But it's never been about surviving the storm. It's been about crossing to the other side of the lake. Demonized communities need believers, men and women of faith, that will cross over to the other side of the lake. Come on, are you out there? Entire sections of our community, your families, people that are connected to you, need a man and woman of faith that will cross over to the other side. Your feelings will rob you of your destiny. Your feelings will cause you to be afraid when you're actually called to be courageous. Your feelings will cause you to lose sight of where you're meant to step into instead of calmly riding out the storm till you get to where God has called you to go. This is what you need to understand. Your feelings, it actually has as much power as you give it to affect you. Only you can give your feelings license to allow what has happened to you to affect you. Only I can give license to that anger, that frustration, because of what's happened to me. Only I can give license to, all right, anger, frustration, you have now license to affect me for the rest of the day. I'm going to be a sad sack. Only I have the authority to give those feelings authority to shape my year. Come on, are you out there? On the flip side, Jesus has given me the faith to counter all of those things and step over and not reduce him to become a joint slave to how I'm feeling about my circumstance, but he's died so I can step up to become a joint heir with him by faith. Someone say amen. You know, the storm, in reality, it actually had no power to affect anybody that night. Think about it. Same storm, same rickety boat, 13 grown men on it. One slept. The other 12 freaked out. Think about that for a moment. Same storm, same circumstance. Same boat, same environment, context. 13 grown men. One was asleep on a cushion. The other 12, teacher, do you not care that we're drowning? I'm believing that in the days ahead, God is raising up a church full of people that will fall asleep in storms until we get over to the other side, to where he's truly called us to wield our influence as believers. Come on, are you out there? You're a feeler by birth, but you're a believer by choice. Don't you ever forget that. See, there is a reason why the Bible says that you were saved by grace through feelings. Does it say that? How were you saved? You were saved by grace through faith. How is it that those of us who were saved by grace through faith still be enslaved by our feelings? But every person, every man or woman that's hearing my voice tonight, just remember who you are, that you are saved by grace through faith. Only when you say no to being beholden to your feelings could you truly live out your true definition as a Christian. You know that the Bible defines who you are? As a Christian, by definition, you're actually an overcomer. I don't always feel like an overcomer, but I can always have an unshakable faith that I am one. Come on, are you out there? By definition, as a believer, you're victorious. I don't always feel like I'm winning, but as a Christian, I can have an unshakable faith that he's already won the victory for me and it is finished. Come on, are you out there? By definition, you are more than a conqueror. I don't always feel like I'm conquering anything. But because of what he's done for me, I can have an unshakable faith that no matter what comes tomorrow, I can conquer it all in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? Musicians, you can join me. The singers, you can join me. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus has a dialogue with his disciples, has a conversation with them about, in many ways, about life now, but also foretells of a time where he's coming to return. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus says a very interesting line that I hope stays with you. Jesus says, in alluding to when he returns, he said, "Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth?" Do you know that Jesus, when he comes again, he's not saying, "Will the Son of Man find people that are feeling up, feeling down, feeling up? I'm only coming for the people that are feeling good today." He's saying, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know about you, but I'm going to prophesy tonight, and I want you to do it with me. In 2018, we are actually going to step into our true calling as the person that Christ has died for us to become, to be that man and that woman of faith. Can you say amen to that? Come on, can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Yeah. Would you stand on your feet right across this room?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.